I do want to make mention, I hope you're singing at home. If you need a hymn book, we have some older hymn books, and we would be happy to either give you one or loan you one, whatever you wanted to do. So please reach out to us, and we'll do that. And if you know anyone that needs a visit, we're out visiting during the week, doing porch visits. We don't have to go in. We'll just stand out in the rain. No, not really. We'll do whatever needs to be done. But we have did that, and it's been real pleasant for us to be able, my wife and I, to go out. And we want you to keep in prayer. If you got the tail blast, please keep Johnny Thompson and his fiance Rebecca in prayer as they're trying to make it to Canada to see Rebecca's mother, who's in the hospital. And also, my wife and I were able to see Miss Lydia Purdy, and she's doing well, and she's doing her radiation treatments now on her cancer. So
she says she's sore but high spirits.
Well, praise the Lord. Look at that technology. She's communicating with us as we're on here. But praise the Lord, Miss Lydia. We love you. And she is sore. And she said she's sore and in high spirits, right?
That's what
it is. All right. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. Appreciate all those that put all the hard work in here. And for our core team that are able to be here. And we are keeping under the guidelines the best we can. And just bear with us. 2 more weeks where we'll be able to meet for those that want to come to our service, Mother's Day. And we're actually going to have a gift for you, a geranium. And if you're not able to come, we will make sure we get the flower to you. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hope you have your Bible. You're going to need your Bible today. There'll be a lot of scriptures. And if you can get a notebook, or a piece of paper, something to write an outline down, and it'll help you as we go through the message. A lot of prayer and has went into this. This sermon will be in 2 parts. The title of it is These Things, and there actually is a subtitle. The subtitle is 7 Steps Towards Godly Living. So we'll be doing part 1 today and part 2 tomorrow. I really wanted to do the whole thing, but as I was studying, I figured it's probably going to be best to break it in half. So it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. We'll pick back up in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charities. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. How are we doing on sound?
It's a little bit. We're hearing
it's better. It's better? All right. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to improve the sound and the message. Father, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord, I pray that you would just for the short time that we have together, Lord, with this message in the next 25 to 35, 40 minutes, whatever it might be, Lord, that you would improve the sound and that people could hear. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a work, even though many and most of our church is not assembled. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well, the title again is These Things. If you will look in this text I just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, you will see in verse 3, it says, all things that pertained unto life and godliness. And then you'll see as we go down, and verse 8 says, for if these things be in you. And then verse 10, these things. Verse 12, these things. And verse 15, these things. Now, I wanted to draw your attention to that. I think it's important. When I started studying this, this message was born out of an outline that I had found from Alan Carr. And then, you know, it's like Deb Burson asked me one time. She says, preacher, how do you get your messages? I said, well, the best way I can explain it is I milk a lot of cows, but I make my own butter. So I read a lot of scholars and different commentaries and commentators, and I just try to seek the Lord. And if I get a subject that the Lord's dealing with me, and then obviously we go when we preach through the book of Ephesians, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're not doing that now. We're just doing a two-part series. Hopefully it won't turn into three. It might. You never know. Depends on how many trails we go down. But anyhow, that's what I told old Deb Burson. I sure miss her. Amen. She's in heaven now, and she was always such a blessing and encouragement to me. So, you know, I want to say this is, who would be, you know, in Facebook land and those that are skeleton crew here to help this service go, how many would like to be known today, if you could hear in this message, to be known as a failure? Well, that's a pretty stupid question, right? Because no one, you know, you got to be pretty, pretty dull, I guess, to say, well, yeah, I just want to be known as a failure, right? Because none of us want to fail. The truth is, everybody wants to be a success in one way or the other. And to be a success as a believer, you want to be what you'd be called a successful Christian. And in a successful Christian, how would you define that? You would simply define it, a successful Christian is one that brings glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. A person that has the Lord Jesus Christ living and working through him by the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. As he is, so as he is in the world, so are we, as Christ was. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Right? And he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, he said, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a successful Christian. Amen? And I think that in this culture that we live in today and with the secular attitudes that we have, even among Christians, that we need to be mindful that we still have to do it God's way. Let me just be a little bit more pointed. You can't have it your own way. The Christian life isn't like Burger King, amen?
That's right.
Right? No, listen. You cannot be a worldly person and be a godly Christian at the same time. It won't work. The Christian experience is not a buffet at a smorgasbord or Golden Corral. You just can't go in there and pick what you want, amen? You got to do it God's way. And if you want to be a successful Christian, it's paramount that you do it God's way. And I believe if we'll really look at the Bible squarely and look at this text and look at the principles that God's laid out in his word today, we can be a successful Christian. After all, that should be the goal of every believer. Hey, if you're not right with God, get right with God. Amen. Hey, if you're listening today and you're not saved and it'd be something that you know you should do, the Holy Spirit's convicting you to do, you need to get saved. Amen. And start your new journey with Jesus Christ. Because, you know, if you read the Bible, you'll see a lot of people in the Bible have failed in their Christian experience. I'm going to show you a couple real quick here. We think of Demas. Demas is he's a picture of a worldly Christian, someone that got away from God. You will see his history marked in the Bible starts in Philemon and ends in 2 Timothy because he was a co-laborer with Paul. It says in Philemon, verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Can you imagine that? That the Paul the Apostle says, hey, this guy's my fellow laborer, huh? You know, he's my co-laborer in ministry. Though that'd be something, wouldn't it? And then it goes on, and if you want to say chronologically, you go to Colossians. And you'll see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, Luke, the beloved physician, you know, isn't that wonderful? We talked about that last. Paul had his own personal doctor, amen? If anyone needed one, it was him, right? He said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. That means Demas was in the throes of ministry with Paul, if you will, in the trenches of preaching the gospel and planting churches. And then we see in 2 Timothy, as Paul winds his life down, they say when he wrote this book that you could literally, when he was in prison, you could hear the axe grinding in the background. I don't know about that, but it was close. And he says this in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Let me just stop there for a moment. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of Christians out there that just says, you know what, I'm tapping out of the Christian life. That the things of this world have just consumed them. And they've turned their back on the Lord and his word and many times his people. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica. Now, if you study history, you'll know about this time around 62 AD that Thessalonica was the New York City of the day. That was the hub of commerce. That was the place to be. That was the Las Vegas, right? Of the Mediterranean. And that's what old Demas did. Left Paul. Left the old preacher high and dry. That's the last we hear of him. I'll tell you, it's important that we stay right. You see, there's another couple of men that bailed out on Paul, and we see Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy. Let me turn there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's look at these two fellows here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, holding forth holding faith and a good conscience, which some, listen to this, this is what Paul talked about. He says, which some having put away concerning the faith, having made shipwreck. You know, we don't use that term much today, right? But you might say that about a Christian that you know that got away from God, got away from his word, got away from the church, got away from other Christians. And you say, what about that man? What about that woman's life? You say, man, their life's a train wreck. Paul says that these two guys here made their lives a shipwreck. Didn't have trains back then. I can go along with that, amen? Verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Whoa, son, I'm telling you. Man, I'm telling you, you don't want your name in Holy Writ written down by the Apostle Paul, amen, saying, I've given you over to the devil, amen. I don't know what, I'm telling you, amen. But we see this. We read of men in the Bible that have failed in their Christian experience. And we know that today. We see that today. We know Christians today that got away from God. Amen? And their life is basically ruined, you know. You think of preachers. Amen? You think of preachers. And there's a lot of good gospel preachers. Amen? Preaching the word of God. Amen? But they made their life a shipwreck. Or a train wreck, if we'd say it today. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't want this to ever happen to me. I'm telling you, I've got enough messages recorded. Amen. If something goes sideways, you go find Freddie. He'll pull up the library, right? And say, well, he preached against that. Amen. What's he doing now with that? Amen. Right? I'm telling you what, I don't want my life to be another preacher's sermon illustration. Right? You shouldn't have your Christian life be another preacher's sermon illustration. Amen? Well, the best I know how, and I know your heart today, that the best you know how, you'd want to bring glory to God by your life and by your testimony. You know, that's the only thing you have. And I believe that, amen? I believe that the Christians I know that I fellowship with desire to live a life that'll bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Peter, you know, of all the apostles, they say Peter was one of the most American out of them all, right? He had a lot of failures, but he's the one who wrote this, amen? And this is in the canon of God's word, amen, for us today. And Peter gives us these keys to godly living. If you will, the seven steps towards godly living. So that's what I want us to see this morning. And we're going to look at the list of these things and whatever they are. Let's see what they will produce in our lives. So let's go back to verse 8 in our text. Verse 8 in our text, and we'll see. We'll start off there. Paul says, Peter says, for these things be in you and abound, that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That if you have these things, this list that we're going to go, if you will, these seven things, that he says this. He says that if they be in you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. Look at this. In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the first thing is here is that the Lord wants us to be fruitful. Fruitful. Amen. Not fruity, but fruitful. Isn't that what John says? I mean, isn't that what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1 and 2? He says, I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, the Lord's desire is that we as believers bring forth fruit. If you'll study that chapter out, he says, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and that your fruit would remain. And we know the verse 5 that the only way you're going to bear fruit and I'm going to bear fruit is that we're connected to the vine.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man abideth in me and I in him, he'll bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what the whole deal with this construction is. I might need something to stand on there. Hey, Fred, could you do me a favor just real quick? Get one of them gray blankets there and fold it up, or Tina or somebody, and I can, because that's just going to drive me batty. I'll quit. Amen. Boy, I could, it doesn't take much for me to quit, right? So if these things be in you, right, listen to what he says. He says in verse 8 that if these things be in you, the list that we're going to look at here, right? What is the list? Besides all this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Oh, thank you so much, my brother. And let's give this man a raise. Amen. Hey, man. All right. Now I can get some traction here. That's right. Stinking. Holding back on you all right now. Amen. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said about bearing fruit in Luke 6, 43 and 44. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes they gather grapes. The fruit that you bring forth will bring glory to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, I want to look at this because Paul says he doesn't want to be unproductive in his Christian experience. He does not want to be unfruitful in the things of God. We see here in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's he saying? I want my life to be a fruitful life. Amen. I don't want people to say, old Paul, there was a time when old Paul was a preacher. Amen. Right? Like Demas, right? One time old Demas was walking with God. He was walking with Paul, ministering with Paul. What happened? Oh, he forsook it and left. Paul said, listen, he was mindful of that. Each and every one of us are always on that edge. Because, see, the enemy wants to derail you. He wants your life to be a shipwreck. Look at verse 9. He talks about these things. And these things that we just read will guarantee spiritual discernment, if I would. He said, but he that lacketh these things, that means he that doesn't cultivate these principles in their lives, he says, is blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. See, many so-called Christians today have no spiritual discernment. Matter of fact, they're to the point to where they don't even act like they're saved, right? Mm-hmm. And if the truth be known, they're struggling about their salvation. Why? Because they never cultivated these things out of the Word of God. They never desired to grow in grace. And they're overcome with doubt. Amen? And doubt is no use to the Lord. It's no use to the Christian. And they lack these things. They lack the promises that God has given them as far as that he'll never leave them nor forsake them or even the assurance of their salvation. Look at verse 10. It says, these things guarantee that you will never fall. That's what it says. Look, it says, wherefore thou rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amen. So what are you saying, preacher? You're saying, if I follow this, I'll never lose my salvation. Listen, if you truly got saved, you're never going to lose your salvation anyways. You might lose your testimony. Amen. You might lose the power of God in your life. But you can't lose your salvation if you were genuinely saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That isn't the message today, but I thought I would just just throw it in there. It doesn't take too long to do that. Amen? So if you and I could just cultivate the Word of God and we could just see these things and just put them and implement them in our lives, we're going to walk in the Spirit. And look at what these things can guarantee us. The first one I looked at, that I'll always be fruitful. Number two, that I'll always have spiritual discernment. Number three, that I'll never doubt my salvation. And then the one I just mentioned, that I'll never fall as a Christian. I don't know about you, but I want to know these things. I want to implement them in my life. I want to do something in my Christian experience that will bring glory to God. So let's go back to our text in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at the list now. In verses 5 through 7, it says, "And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Now, I'll stop there for a second. It says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Who's he talking to here, Brother Chuck? He's talking to a believer, isn't he? Right? He's talking to someone that got saved. Saved people. Back up to verse 3 real quick. It says, "According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto us to glory and to virtue." Amen. We see here that Peter's saying the same thing that Paul was saying in Philippians 10. Paul said that I might know him. You say, great night. Paul, what are you talking about? Knowing Christ, man. I mean, you penned under the holy inspiration of the Holy Spirit about a third of the New Testament, and Philippians in your prison epistle, you're saying that you might know Christ. You know what he's saying? That I might know him more and more and more and more. And Peter is saying this, that has God's divine power is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. Now look at this, and virtue. So we go back down to our list. We see in verse 5, he says, "And besides this, give all diligence." That's important. Diligence. Add to your faith. What's the first one? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that's a deep subject there. Amen. I don't know. It's one that you don't hear preached on very much, but it's one that we must have. It's the first step into adding to our faith. If we can get a handle on this virtue thing, you know, and, you know, some of you might be going back to Proverbs 31 and you might be saying, you know, talks about the virtuous woman. Well, it's not just talk about women. Amen. This word virtue has a lot of manliness connected to it in the Greek, and I'm going to show you here in a second on that. But the word means moral uprightness, holiness. This word literally means excellent living. So in one word, God is telling you and me that if we live by the Bible and we live a moral, pure life the best we can, amen, abstaining from evil and so on and so forth, then he will guarantee these gifts that I had mentioned earlier, having spiritual discernment, being fruitful, never doubting my salvation, amen, and knowing that I can never fall. Virtue. When this subject of moral purity comes up, many people recoil. Many Christians recoil. And you say, why? Well, a lot of Christians aren't living right. You know? And I believe it is because we're not practicing what the Bible teaches us about virtue. About virtue. Let's look at a few scriptures in this. About virtue. Let me see. 1 Peter. Start there. See what God says about virtue. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." You say, well, why'd you pick that? Well, think about it. That's what the Bible tells us, that we're to be holy. You say, well, are you ever going to be perfect? No. Are you ever going to be perfectly holy? No, I know that. But it ought to be our endeavor. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes. What does God say? God says, I'm holy. I want you to be holy. God didn't have a double standard. Well, we live in a world of double standards, right? Yeah. It was like that one guy that I knew, right? He'd tell his teenage boys, don't you go drinking. Don't you go drinking beer. But in his garage, he had a six-pack in the refrigerator. What was he telling his sons? They thought his counsel was a joke. Why? Because he's saying, do as I say, not as I do. That isn't the way God divides it up. God says, be holy because I am holy. Amen. It's the word of God, amen? And we should desire to be that like that. There's so many Christians today that are confused about the things of God. Why? Because you're not reading the Bible, amen? Just get back in the Bible. See what God says about a subject, amen? Pick a subject. Okay, what are you talking about? Well, you ask, amen? No, virtue, right? Morality, right? What does God say about it? It has a lot to say about it in the Bible. What happens is a Christian, and they'll go out there and they'll turn on the radio or they'll get on the internet and get all these opinions. Why don't you just go right to this? See what the Bible says, amen? You know, a lot of Christians are like what Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We got to get back to the Bible. It doesn't matter what somebody down the street thinks. It matters what God thinks. That's the important thing today, friends. Amen. You know, people say, well, I don't think it's that big of a deal to live together before we get married. Well, it doesn't matter if you think it's a big deal or not. God says it's wrong. You say, well, show me. I'm all right, thank you. I will. Right? Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says. Flee fornication. You say, well, that's just some old-timey word. No, 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 no. Stop, 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 stop. Fornication means any sexual activity outside the confines of marriage. That's what fornication is. Let me say it again. Fornication is any sexual activity outside the confines of marriage. Period. That's what God says. Listen to what he says. Flee fornication. That's what Paul says. Run from it. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he committeth fornication, sinneth against his own body. So it says flee fornication. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:2 said. It says avoid fornication. And 1 Corinthians 7:2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Not only are we to flee it, but we're to avoid it. And it says plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, do not do it. Neither let us commit fornication. That, boy, I'll tell you, that's plain. That's plain Bible, amen? That's plain Bible. That isn't up for debate with Dr. Snodgrass or anybody else. That's the word of God. That's what God says, amen? Amen? You say, well, what's going to happen to people if they're living together? And all I'm saying is get it right, amen? If it doesn't matter what your income is. Doesn't matter what your what state you're from or this or that. Let me tell you something. You can get it right or get apart, period. I don't know any other way to say it, amen? You say, well, you're unlovely. I'm just telling you what God says, amen? I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. Amen. 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 You go. The Bible goes on to say in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Amen. See, a lost person out there right now that don't know Christ, they don't know no better. They don't know no better. They're shacked up and doing that. They're doing their thing. They don't know no better. But Paul says, man, to the Ephesian church, listen, brethren, you shouldn't even be accused of that. Amen. Quit trying to skirt right to the edge of everything without falling off. You've already fallen off if you're shacked up. Amen. If you're having sex out of marriage, you've already done it, man. All you can do now is make it right. Amen. Hey, I'm concerned about that. I want to help you do that. Amen. Come talk to me. Hey, man, let's get some counsel. Let's get a plan. Amen. Get married. Get it right. God will bless that. God will bless that. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you're only preaching on shacking up because you only got a handful of people. Well, maybe. Amen. But I'm doing it. Hey, let's look at the Bible plain. Plain. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. And it isn't just shacking up. It could be drinking. It could be drugging. It could be gossiping or whatever it might be. Amen. Just get it right. Amen. Virtue. Amen. Moral purity refers to every aspect of our life. Physical, mental, spiritual purity must be maintained if we expect to get his blessing on our lives. We must do it, amen? We must desire to do it. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord, amen? Guy, it's just so important. I appreciate one of Brother Chuck's best sermon people, Reg Kelly. So this came across my way, old Reg. And old Reg said this 10 years ago. He said this on virtue. Yeah. This is worth writing down, so get your pen warmed up. Okay, if you paused it or fast forward, just tune. Come on now. Come on now, right? Okay. Okay, so he said that virtue is defined as this. Virtue is the power of a righteous life that is in submission to and in harmony with the holy standards of God's word. Let me say that again. He said virtue, well, he defined it as this. He said virtue is the power of a righteous life that is in submission to and in harmony with the holy standards of God's word. I don't know about you, but I like that definition. Amen. See, if you're a virtuous person, you see what I mean? You're going to be Christ-like. Why? Because Jesus was full of virtue. Think about it. In Mark chapter 5, right, there's a story of the woman who had an issue of blood. And she said, she goes, if I could just get to him, I will be healed of this plague. Oh, mercy. Think about that for a second, right? If people can just get to Jesus right now, they'll be healed of this plague, whatever it is. They can be healed from the anxiety of this plague, amen? From the fear of this plague, amen? From the economical complications, if you will, or downfall of this plague, right? Just thought I would just, you know, all right, okay. Now she said, if I could just get to Jesus, 12 years she had this plague of this issue of blood, and she says, if I could just get to him, I will be healed of this plague. And there was a crowd of people, and she worked her way through the crowd of the people, and she said this, if I could but just touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made whole of this plague. And sure enough, what happened? Come on now, help me, right? I'm telling you, hello? Am I the only one here today? Right? Hey, listen, she reached out and she got and she touched the hem of the garment. And what did the Bible say? Did Jesus just go, all right? Did he just go on? Jesus said, no, stop. Stop. Who touched me? Huh? And it goes on to say that he knew that the virtue had flown out of him, right? Flowed out of him. That his virtue flowed into her, and she was healed of that plague.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, friends, but you ought to desire, and I ought to desire to live a life of virtue that when people see us, they know there's something different about us, amen. They know we've been changed, bless God, amen. They know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we want to make a difference in a lost and dying world. Let me ask you this. How do people talk when they're around you that don't know the Lord? That's a good indication right there. Amen. You know, I like to brag on my wife, and she's going to probably, she doesn't like this at all, but I'm going to say it. I just told her in studying this message, I said, I appreciate your testimony, Tina. And she says, what do you mean? I said, at work, you have a testimony. Tina has a testimony when she works at the kitchen at the Coeur d'Alene schools and at Lake City High, or she was at Coeur d'Alene High, that she had a testimony that the ladies knew that there was something different. They just treated her different because she treated them different. She loved them. She never judged them or anything. But I promise you, if they were telling a filthy joke or something off color, they wouldn't do it in front of her. There ought to be a testimony, folks. I'm telling you, if you're going to live a virtuous life, if you look into the if you look in the Bible, I got one of my commentaries here. It says that virtue is this. It's a moral excellence of good character. Right? Moral strength and moral courage. It means, now listen to this, men. It means manliness. You know, we got to get away from this whole thing about, well, I just, you know, hey, Bubba, I'm going to live however I want, but I'm going to get me a good girl. You don't deserve a good girl. What makes you think you can live like the devil and you want a moral, pure, virtuous woman? Tell these young girls here right now, man, choose wisely.
Amen.
He ought to be as pure as you, period. Amen. I'll tell you, after I got saved in 1992, I thanked the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. First Southern Baptist Church, July 12th, 1992. Amen. Ha! Man, I'll tell you. Amen. But I remember my first deacon, right? Boy, he was about a backslider. There was two of them. One of them, I think he was a godly man. The other man, he was about as wicked as the day is long. He said, how'd you know that? Man, I looked up to him. Amen. But the guy smoked and drank. I remember one time I came around, he knew my pickup. I came around the corner and he was cutting the church grass and he seen me, but I seen him before he seen me. And boy, he threw that cigarette right into the weeds there. And I thought, man, brother, you better stop that thing. You're going to burn the whole place. He was waving to me as I drove by. I kept going because I wanted to go put the fire out. Amen. I don't care if he smoked or whatever. I mean, but don't come off and teach my Sunday school class like you're something, right? But I remember him saying this one time. He goes, yeah, it's all right for the boys. And you know what? I'm a new Christian. And this guy, and I had a son at the time. I'm thinking, man, what are you teaching me? He'd say, well, the way we grew up, girls had to be in by 9. The boys, as long as they made it by sunup to milk the cows, it was all right. No, it's not all right. Mm-hmm. You hear what I'm saying? What's right is what God says is right.
Yes.
And a man ought to be as virtuous or more, strive to be godly and virtuous just as any woman. Amen?
Amen.
Needless to say, that deacon had a terrible downfall. Yes, his life was made a shipwreck. Yes, his life was made a train wreck. I appreciate my second pastor who pastored this deacon. He came to me, he goes, there's some things wrong there, Brother Bobby. Don't look at that for an example. I said, praise the Lord. People ought to look to you as an example. Amen. People ought to know that if you're in a crowd or you're around people, that they're just not comfortable with behaving like a worldly person. Come on now. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be going up to people and judging them. That ain't your place. God's the judge. Amen. But you ought to live your life. You shouldn't have a double standard. You shouldn't live one way or act one way in church and then one way in the world. I know you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. I fail, and I'm telling you, come on now. I had to ask for forgiveness already this morning amongst some people that were here, amen? That's a pretty standard thing for me, amen? Because I get excited, I say things, and I need forgiveness, amen? And so do you. But we ought to strive, amen? You say, well, you got to understand something. If I don't fit in at work, I'll lose my job. Lose your job. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. I've lost a job over that kind of stuff. Amen? That's the gospel truth, amen? But it's worth it, amen? It's worth it to have people, amen, that you work with and that you associate with, knowing that no matter what happens, that they really, when the chips are really down, that they don't, that they're not going to call their bar buddies, amen, their golfing buddies, their fishing buddies, but they're going to call the separate man of God who lived it before them, amen? That's what's important, amen? That ought to be your desire, and that ought to be my desire, is to live a life virtuous. Amen. I had a plan this morning. I was going to do 3.5 out of the 7. You know, we got 7, you know, 3.5. But apparently we didn't even get past the 1.
Amen.
I want to appreciate all the time that we have. And, you know, if God has touched your heart, amen. If God has touched your heart and you say, you know, preacher, there's just some things in my life that, man, I struggle with. And I know it's not right, but I want it to get right. I'm telling you, you can. The only thing that's stopping you is you. I mean, the Bible says what? If we sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The same book in 1 John chapter 1, it says, verse 5, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. That's as simple as that. So if you're here this morning, the small little group we have here, or in Facebook land, if you just bow your head and just ask the Lord to just do something in your life as I pray and as the piano starts to play. Dear Father, we come before you this morning and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us where we fail you. Oh God, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, for indeed they are many. Lord, we come before you, and as we've read the Word of God and we've seen the Word of God applied it and the principles of the Word of God preached, I pray, Lord, that you would just do something in our lives about that. Lord, help us to repent of our sins. Help us, Lord Jesus, to accept you in totality into our heart and lives. And Lord, help us to walk in wisdom and in truth. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live a life that would bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, give us the courage, Lord, this morning to, Lord, give you everything. And Lord, the things that we can't give you, Lord, we invite you to take them and to accept the consequences, whatever they are. Lord, that's a hard prayer. But Lord, we invite you to do that because we want to bring glory to you. So, Lord, do that this morning in Jesus' name, and amen. And every head bowed at home or here, no one looking around as the piano plays, this would be a time for you to do that in your heart. Just do it. Allow the Lord to just take whatever you're holding on to from you. Let it go.